We hear the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Christ, did you make a resolution for the new year back in January? How are you doing with keeping it? I made a resolution about 30 years ago and managed to keep it for less than 24 hours. So the next year I made a resolution that I've kept ever since, never to make a New Year's resolution again. Or did you give up something for Lent? How's that going? We have good intentions many times to do good things, don't we? We're willing to make all kinds of promises to ourselves and plot out exactly how we'll keep those promises. Did you know that it's estimated that only about 8% of New Year's resolutions are kept? That's a 92% failure rate. How long would you last as a student if you got 92% of the questions wrong on every quiz and exam here at Bethany? If we as human beings are that bad at keeping what usually are fairly simple promises to ourselves, to cut out drinking soft drinks or eating chocolate, to lose weight or exercise more, to sleep more, how well do you think we do at keeping our promises to God? Peter, Jesus' disciple, had made bold promises to Jesus. He'd promised that he would never leave Jesus, that he would die for Jesus, that he would never deny Jesus, and some of those just before this text. But we find Peter just before this sound asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane, after Jesus had asked his disciples to stay alert while he went and prayed. We know Peter failed miserably at keeping all of those promises he made to Jesus. His spirit was willing, but his sinful flesh, his weak and sinful nature, pushed back, pushed those good intentions aside. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If you were confirmed in a Lutheran church, you made a promise on your confirmation day to be faithful to God's teachings, to God, even to the point of death. You essentially made a vow before God that you would rather die than deny him, than deny his teachings. And I'm sure you had very good intentions when you made those vows. And you, like Peter, and like me, have failed miserably. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. If you're trying to impress God by keeping his commands, how are you doing? Do you always put God before everything else in your life? Have you used God's name in a curse, even accidentally? Have you made attending church, hearing and studying God's word the highest priority in your life? Have you done everything your parents, your professors, the police, government officials, your boss have asked you to do? Everything? Have you felt hatred toward anyone? Have you had sexual thoughts about someone that you're not married to? Have you ever stolen anything or even thought about it? Maybe just a fork or two from the cafeteria for your dorm room? Have you ever gossiped? Maybe just a snarky comment about someone to someone else? Ever wanted something that belonged to someone else that you couldn't or shouldn't have? How are you doing at keeping those commands? Do you think God is impressed with your ability to please him? Jesus knew exactly what would happen to Peter, to all of his disciples that night in the garden and for the rest of their lives. He knew that they would fail at keeping their promises, that they would continue to sin. And he knows that about all of us, too. There's a war going on inside each of us every day of our lives. Our sinful nature fights against our new selves, the old against the new Adam, we often say. Our own thoughts, words, and actions fighting against the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, describes it very well in Romans. He writes, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Or as Jesus summarizes it, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We might have a few different reactions to that. We might give up, throw up our hands and say, "If I can't do it anyway, then what's the point?" Or we might keep trying to please God and keep failing and end up in despair, knowing that we can't please Him. We might think or try to do many different things on our own, but they all lead us back to despair and hopelessness. God demands perfection, and nothing we can do even comes close. All we can earn for ourselves is an eternity in hell. But we're here. We know that God didn't leave us in this hopeless state, even as Jesus' disciples were admonished to stay awake, to watch and pray, and still fell asleep. Jesus was earning their and our eternal life. Even as the disciples abandoned him, Jesus did not abandon them. Even as they fell into despair as their teacher died, he earned for them an eternal joy in their forgiveness and salvation. Just after this text, Jesus is arrested, tried, and put to death because his disciples had failed and sinned. Because you failed and sinned. Because I failed and sinned. Jesus willingly gave up his life. He offered his life as the sacrifice to pay for all of our sins, all of our broken promises, all of our hatred, all our lusting and stealing were heaped on his shoulders as he hung on the cross, suffering our punishment of hell. And just like he told his disciples, Jesus urges us to watch and pray. He urges you to listen to his word, to study it, to hear the great news that he has paid for all of your sins, that you are his child, that you are saved from eternal death and given eternal life. He urges you to pray to the Heavenly Father, to thank him for all he's given to you, and ask him to supply all of your needs. And he wants you to keep your faith strong, not only by hearing and studying his word, but by receiving the very body and blood he shed on the cross for you in his supper. There he offers you forgiveness and strengthens your faith. And he invites you to return to the promise of your baptism each day. And as Luther said, daily drown the old Adam, that weak, sinful flesh, in contrition and repentance, so that the new Adam comes forth. And to know without a doubt that your sins are forgiven, that salvation is yours by God's grace through faith in Jesus. We can't do anything to save ourselves. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. But our Father has supplied and continues to supply all our needs. Jesus saved us by his perfect life and his innocent death, and the Holy Spirit strengthens us and helps us to overcome the old sinful flesh and to live the new lives created in us. Amen. I invite you to please stand as we pray together the morning prayer at the top of page 167. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.